Game Time is supported by South Dakota Career and Technical Student Organizations. Learn more at sdctso.org.
Coming up on Game Time, and then there were four. So close to the dome, you can taste it. It's semifinal week across South Dakota, and we're here to break down every single game. Plus, it's time to crown some champions in the All Nations Conference. We'll go give you the matchups on the 9A and 9B title games coming up on Game Time.
Game Time is supported by the South Dakota Career and Technical Student Organization Center. Through CTSOs, South Dakota students can learn professional development, leadership, and industry-specific skills, helping students learn, lead, and succeed.
Another week of Game Time here on SDPB. We are stoked, Jandy. It is go time. Buckle up. We've got a busy Friday coming up with the All Nations Football Conference Championships. We'll talk about that, as well as we mentioned the semifinals. This is where those tickets get punched to the dome, and it gets really, really fun.
16 games to talk about, 2 in All Nations, 14 in South Dakota High School Activities Association games, and I can't wait to dig into each and every one of them. It's going to be great.
Well, we're doing live coverage of the All Nations Football Conference Championship game, so why don't we just start right there and talk about those. There's going to be 2 games on Friday from the Dakota Dome in Vermilion, and it's going to start off with McLaughlin versus White River. White River coming back to the All Nations Football Conference Championship in 9B, and McLaughlin, a perfect season so far, and they're going to try to win their first.
And both these teams did a great job in the semifinal round to earn their spot there. These kind of were the two teams all year that felt like they might clash at the end. Omaha Nation had a good start to the year, but these two teams really rose to the top. They actually played back on September 11th, and it was a 2-point game. So if that gives you any indication of what we're in for, I can't wait to see how this one plays out on Friday.
Yeah, and we talk a little bit about McLaughlin with the year the Mustangs have had. We mentioned that they went undefeated, but there's a lot of excitement going on right now up in that McLaughlin area, north central South Dakota, west of Mobridge a little bit. And it's a place where the football culture is just being built. And I just can't stress enough how big this is for that community.
It's huge for the community. The fans really have been supporting it since they went to All Nations. This has been a big deal each and every week. And they should be. Their quarterback, John Eagle Jr., is a terrific football player, regardless of what class. This is a guy who can make a play anywhere on the field at any time. And that's White River's number one job in this game, is to find out where John Eagle Jr. is and make sure he doesn't hurt you. But both teams super well represented on the All Nations All Conference team that came out this week. There's going to be, it's really going to come down to mistakes in this game and which team executes the game plan better, because they're two really strong teams.
And then on the second game that we've got for All Nations is Winnebago, who last year lost in double overtime to Pine Ridge in the 9A championship. They're back, and they're taking on Todd County. Todd County was not there last year, but they did win it a couple years ago, so they are back. Bob Cornelly and his team are – the Falcons are back, and they're going to try to go against a tough Winnebago team.
They've made such progress in the last couple years, and – this year, probably the most improved team in 9A that we've seen. And they do it with heart, and they did it with offense in the semifinal game. They had to match touchdown for touchdown with Little Wound and found a way to get it done at the end of the game. This is a team, I think, that plays well on both sides. They can play those low-scoring games, and they can get into shootouts and win 50-46 if they have to. But they're going to have to put up some points against Winnebago. This is a team. It brings almost everybody back from last year's team that went to overtime and almost won this thing. Two running backs, between the two running backs, one is 13, one is 12 touchdowns. So you can't really key on one player. This is going to be a fantastic matchup as well.
So 2 games. We've got 3 schools from South Dakota, and we got 1 from Nebraska. Should be a lot of fun. We look forward to bringing you live coverage of that, as well as we'll be televising the All Nations Football Conference Championship games. We'll be streaming them as well on our All Nations webpage and, of course, on the SDPB YouTube channel. So be sure to check that out. I believe coverage starts at 3:30 Central and 2:30 Mountain on Friday from the Dakota Dome. Should be a lot of fun when we get to Friday. And it's also semifinal night on Friday night. really busy Friday night. Holy moly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to be at All Nations, but across the state, we're going to see some dandy semifinal matchups. And this is one of my favorite nights of the year to you know, these teams can just taste the dome, and they're one win away, and there's a lot of community support that goes into Friday night.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome. Well, let's get into some of these brackets as far as the high school playoffs with the semifinals. Let's start with 9B. Pretty interesting here. We got St. Mary's, obviously an undefeated season so far. They've been fantastic going against Faulkton area, and that'll be a mid-afternoon game to start kind of that semifinal Friday Night Light experience.
Yeah, Del Rapids still playing on the Del Rapids public field, so they got to get it in early, but that's going to be a fun one. Faulkton, you know, had a huge week last week, kind of getting their way past Sully Buttes, and last year, of course, came up short against Sully Buttes in the finals, so this year getting a little revenge, but now they get the treat of playing St. Mary's, a team that ran for 321 yards last week, 463 total yards in that game. Thomas LaVoy and Lincoln LeBrun were the two big ball carriers for St. Mary's last week. And St. Mary's has only given up 12 points so far in the playoffs this year. It just shows how dominant they've been on the defensive side. Faulkton has their hands full in this one. They're going to need Landon Coyle and their running backs to step up and find a way to, you know, break off a couple big ones, because it's going to be hard in the trenches all day against the St. Mary's team.
Yeah, it's really going to come down to, I think, in the first quarter, once you start seeing the push up front, you're going to sort of be able to get a little bit of a taste as to maybe what direction the game should be going. But yeah, it certainly will be an exciting one. And then we've got Coleman Egan going down to Avon. Avon's only loss this season was to Freeman Marion Freeman Academy.
That was their only loss, and Coleman Egan has three losses. One of those was to Avon, who they lost earlier this year 38-0. And Coleman Egan is just really happy to be in this situation. They had a standard of excellence for a few years, dropped down, and now to have a team like this to come back, it's been huge. He knows their head coach, Chad Williamson, knows that they're going to have to play their best game to hang with Avon, because Avon is so big. Avon has allowed 29.3 yards, rushing yards, per game this year. That is crazy that you can't run on the Avon Pirates.
Yeah, and that's certainly going to be part of their DNA as well on Friday. One thing I was going to ask you too, Jandy, because we're going to go through a few different teams here in a few different classes where they have played earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Does that help a team like Coleman Egan that has seen Avon already? Is that something that you can use as fuel?
Well, we saw that in the last round where teams that played the second time, you know, it is harder for the team that won to try to continue to do what they've done, because they're totally scouted at that point. So that does give an advantage, but we did see the better team usually in that quarterfinal round find a way to get it done in the end. So yeah, it does help Coleman Egan, but it's not the cure.
Right, absolutely. And I think both teams would probably go back to that game, watch some film, and see certain things that they could have maybe done a little bit better, a little differently, and maybe try to pick up on some of the trends as well. And then we move over to 9A. This one we're going to talk a little bit about here too. Wall versus Phillip. First time these two teams played, it was 2.5 months ago. It was the first game of the regular season. Wall really had their way. For Wall. And Wall, you know, Wall really had their way with Phillip in that game. But look at what we've seen Phillip do since then. They've had their way with teams. They've won some close games. They have a win against Hill City. They took down Ipswich last week in a one-possession game as well in the quarterfinals.
A low-scoring game, I did not expect that to be a low-scoring game.
So what do we take away when we look at Phillip? Because the Scotties, man, they're running on some pretty high juice right now.
Their defense played a phenomenal game against Ipswich, and I think that was one of the biggest surprises I saw last week, is what they did in the quarterfinal round defensively, and then to get a punt return touchdown from Tegan Groper in the third quarter and then make that stand against such a high-powered Ipswich offense. I think Wall has to look at that and say, it's going to be a different matchup. We just talked about it. The second time you play, it's going to be a different matchup. They got to look at that and say, you know, we can't just take for granted we're going to be able to run the ball or pass the ball up and down the field. This is going to be a different game than it was. And geographically, these two are rivals.
Right, they're close.
It's just one of those games where if things start slipping one way or the other, the momentum could really carry a team.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Wall, when you look at what they've done this year and how they've had their way with a lot of different opponents, we haven't seen Wall play in a close game yet.
Right.
If Phillip, who has a couple wins in close games, if they can keep the game under control, I think the Scotties do have a chance.
It's defense. It's all defense, Phillip. You guys got to be ready to handle Jace Moore and these guys that, you know, Dawson Hancock, who just go up and down the field. Moore averaging, you know, almost three touchdowns per game, running over 100 yards per game. And they're just really tough to stop. Tanner Vollmer has done a great job at quarterback. It's going to be a big ask, but that's what you're going to have to do to win this game, defense.
And then we've got Pat Rummel's Tigers from Howard that are going to be going up against Alcester Hudson.
Yeah, another rematch.
How about that win that Howard had last week up in Warner?
Yeah, that was, again, it was defense, and they came out, got that 28-21 win over Warner. They played huge D in the fourth quarter. Actually, a pair of Howard onside kicks ended up getting things going for them, and the 28-point second quarter explosion is what ended up doing it for Howard in that game. So that was huge. And then they played D to shut down a really good Warner team. As we said, these two teams played earlier this year in the opener. It was closer than the 40-29 score, but Alcester Hudson has used that to vault them to a tremendous year. And they also had a big fourth quarter to come back and beat Platt last week, 24-20. It looked like they were down in dead, and looked like the Black Panthers might advance to the semifinal round, but Alcester Hudson came back. So two really resilient teams here, Nate.
So 9A, we got West River versus West River and East River versus East River. We're guaranteed to have a West River versus East River championship in 9A.
Yeah. 9AA,
we've got Freeman, who's been just incredible this year, and they're going to be tested playing Hamlin here in the semifinals.
Yeah, we talk about Freeman, but here, let's put some numbers into it. Yards per completion this year, 20.3. They're averaging 10.3 yards per play from scrimmage this year. So they're getting a first down on average every single play this year, and that's what Hamlin has to deal with. But Hamlin's been outstanding in the playoffs. They really came back against Hill City. They outscored them 24-0 in the third quarter to get a 52-14 win. So that was huge for Hamlin after, you know, not playing the best first half of their life and really coming out in the second quarter and getting things ironed out.
And then you got Elkton Lake Benton, great defense that they have, and they're going to be hosting Parkston.
Yeah, Elkton Lake Benton, Parkston, this one to me is the game to watch. This is the nine-man game to watch. This one could go either way. Parkston has been so good in late October and November over the last couple of years, and Elkton has been so close they can taste it. They're there once again in the semifinals. They need another big performance from their two studs, Colt Beck and Erickson, Elliot Erickson. Last week, those two guys ran for 385 yards. That's what.
Man.
But it's going to be tough to do that against Parkston because they got some big dudes up front. The Trojans have won 9 in a row now. I think the emotion and the improvement we've seen from Parkston this year might surprise some people. I think it's going to be an extremely tight game.
Well, we look forward to it, and we're going to get to the 11-man classes here as well. But before we do that real quick, we want to just take a moment and invite people to join us again tomorrow night for a full hour of local programming. We're going to have Dakota Life Greetings from Eureka, followed by Tales from the Net, a volleyball show where we highlight three coaches throughout the state and dive into some of the stories with these coaches that you probably haven't seen before.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed this. I mean, all the coaches in volleyball across the state have been awesome, but we highlighted three that, you know, bring out something unique in what they've done to their teams this year. I know I had fun. You had fun doing your story, and I can't wait to see it all come together on SDPB.
Tales from the Net will air at 8:30, 7:30 Mountain on SDPB. It'll also be available on YouTube tomorrow as well. Same with Dakota Life Greetings from Eureka. That'll air at 8 o'clock Central, 7 Mountain, also on SDPB. Well, let's get to the 11-mans. We've got a big one in 11B with Elk Point Jefferson hosting Duel right down in the southeastern corner of the state.
Yeah, exactly. They've earned that home field advantage this year, and they've done it with their offensive line. It seems like no matter who they plug in at running back. Last week, sophomore Aiden Hammett came in and led the rushing attack. He had, you know, five carries for 155 and two touchdowns, and they actually caught two passes, two completions for APJ. You know what? That's nice, though, that they have that in their bag,
yeah.
But they don't need to be passing the ball. But they have it in case they need it, and they might need it in this game because Duel, you know, this is a team that can throw the ball themselves, and they can run the ball. Gavin Close has had a phenomenal year for them running the football. And last week, You know, they did it with the running game. They did it with a pick six by Troy Jensen, and their quarterback Aiden Severs had another big week. So Duel, maybe one of the more underrated teams that we've seen this year in 11B, going to see what they can do against the Huskies. So far, nobody's been able to crack that code.
And then we got the Cavaliers from St. Thomas More. They're hosting Clark Willow Lake out on the west side of the state.
Yeah, I mean, this is another team we haven't talked much about is Clark Willow Lake, and they've been steady every single week. And there's no comparison here, really, because these teams haven't played each other. They did both play Sioux Valley this year. You know, St. Thomas More won that game back in the early part of the season, and Clark Willow Lakes actually played Sioux Valley twice and have won and lost that game. So you can't tell a lot about the common opponents in this one. Not a lot of schedules that line up, but CWL has been able to control the line of scrimmage in the playoffs especially. I don't know if they'll be able to do that against St. Thomas More, who features a big offensive line and a really talented backfield. And then St. Thomas More, they haven't given up multiple scores since that very first game of the year. Their defense probably not getting enough recognition for what they've done. And last week, they did a great job of putting the pedal to the metal, scoring 28 unanswered points against Mount Vernon Plankinton.
Well, there's one common thing here, Jandy, that keeps getting brought up as we talk about some of these potent offenses. But then a lot of these teams also have really good defenses. And right. You know what they say, defenses are the key when it comes to winning a championship.
I think you're right, Nate. This is the time of the year when, you know, everybody's got a good offense. So How good is your defense? And how many of those guys can you keep healthy? And a lot of these teams are playing both ways at this point. So defense is going to be what we're really going to be watching this Friday night.
And then we've got 11A, Sioux Falls Christian, taking on West Central. What do you like about this one?
Well, West Central, let's give them some credit. They have fought through very hard this year, and they executed a great game plan against Madison. They just said, Hayden Whiting, we're riding your back. You're going to take us to the semifinals. He carried it 36 times for 202 yards and two touchdowns. They even gave up a pick six in that game and were still able to get a 9-point win against Madison. West Central playing their best ball of the year, but now a whole different monster, a team that's allowing 6.4 points per game this year, and in fact, a better points per game against average against ranked opponents. So, you know, some of those points that they're giving up garbage time points to some of these teams that are not ranked. When they play ranked teams, they're only giving up 5 points per game. So Sioux Falls Christian, we talked about them last year. At this point, they were very similar. They were high-powered, but they didn't get it done. So let's see if they have a new focus this year as they get a rematch with West Central, a team they played in the semis, I believe, was it last year? Yeah, last year, where they won 31-7.
And then you've got Lennox, the defending champs, who took down Sioux Falls Christian in the state championship last year at the Dome. Lennox going on the road to take on Del Rapids.
Well, this resurgence that we've seen from Lennox, during that resurgence, they really took it to Del Rapids. And Del Rapids, hopefully for them, they learned a little bit from that game and will be able to respond. But one thing we know is that the Lennox defensive front is one of the best defensive fronts in football, and that's what you need against Del Rapids, a team that just loves to run the ball with Ryan Stubbe, and even Drake Eastman, their quarterback, likes to run the ball. And I don't know if they're going to be able to make a big play against this Lennox defense. They're going to need it in this game. It's going to be interesting. You know, this Lennox team has won 6 in a row now after a couple of losses. I think they're playing really good ball. It's going to take a perfect game for Del Rapids, or they're going to have to get some type of turnovers, takeaways, mistakes by Lennox, because right now Lennox feels like the better team.
Yeah, Lennox definitely peaking at the right time, I guess you could say. Yeah. So, and then we've got 11A, AA. We've got Sturgis and we've got Yankton. These two teams, they played each other a few weeks ago, and it was in Sturgis, and Sturgis sort of shocked the state by taking down Yankton, and now Yankton's going to get a shot at redemption with a trip to the Dome on the line.
Yeah, about a month ago, these teams took the field, and it was 3 clutch turnovers by Yankton that cost them that game. And watching Yankton last week, I watched them play Spearfish. They didn't look like they handled them by any means. Spearfish had some opportunities in that game. So if Sturgis gets those opportunities, you know, they can hang with Yankton. It's just so tough to come all the way across the state on a day and try to take on a team like Yankton that has a great built-in home field advantage, too, at Grand Young.
Absolutely. Yankton has looked really good at home this year for the most part. I know you said that their offense struggled a little bit this past week. It wasn't maybe to script as what a lot of people thought it was going to go. But, you know, this time of year too, you got to just win in advance.
Yep, they made a few mistakes, got it done. I think the one weakness Yankton might have is stopping the run. And Sturgis's best running back, Sully Jost, of course, has been out for the last couple of weeks. He's not going to be able to play in this one. Jackson Kano, though, their quarterback that loves to run, he is going to be huge in this game. If he can buy a little extra time and then find a lane, there is a path here for Sturgis to get an upset road win. But it's going to be tough. This Yankton team is so good on the outside. Their quarterback has had such a good year. Their defense has some good pressure from the outside with Edley Amaro Jr. and some of their linebackers do a great job in the middle of the field. But there's paths for both of these teams to win.
And then we've got Pierre going to Huron, another rematch from earlier in the season where Huron escaped a narrow one over Pierre. They had a pick six with, what, like a minute plus to go in the game, and then Pierre still had a chance to go down and win it. Coach Steele has said, there's a few plays here that we could
there's
be
two
on,
in this game
right.
for sure.
So there's a few, there's been a play in every game that has basically been the difference between a win and a loss. This one will be interesting. It's in Huron. What do you think of this one?
Well, Huron has had a fantastic year. They were one of the few teams in 11AA we were not talking about in our preseason show because we just didn't know how much of an improvement they had made. And defensively, they've been one of the best teams in 11AA. So they're going to have to play a special brand of defense against Jaron Deal, the sophomore quarterback who's come in for Pierre and lit it up. He's completing 68% of his passes in just a few games, has 646 yards and 9 touchdowns since taking over as the quarterback. He brings such a new dynamic to this team. Huron had a little bit of trouble with the power running game from Brookings. They're not going to see a power running game from Pierre. They're going to see a wide open field and Jaron Deal looking for lanes to run in. So that actually, I think, kind of helps Huron a little bit. But on the other hand, this Pierre team is playing as well as they have all season long. And I wouldn't want to play the Governors at this point in the season.
We've seen it before from Pierre where maybe things go a little wonky at times throughout the regular season. It gets to the playoffs and they kind of hit a different gear. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in here on this Friday night. But it's going to be fun. This is definitely one of the games that I'm most excited for. I just think that there's so many different ways it could go. And there's so many storylines surrounding the game too that are going to take place off the field, which always helps with the hype of the game.
And Huron, with Landon Hulst, the rest of the team, they know they can do this because they have done it. They've taken that scary part away from this equation, and it's been so fun to see them ring the bell after every win, and Drew Strand really finding a way to motivate this team week after week, and getting the win last week against Brookings in a really low scoring game.
Right.
So I think they're going to have to keep this one low scoring. The higher scoring this game gets, the more it favors Pierre.
And then we've got 11AAA, Brandon Valley hosting Harrisburg, Lincoln hosting Jefferson. You maybe could have flipped out one team out of these four, but I think for the most part, we probably got it right with the four best.
Yeah, this has kind of been the script the last couple of years, is these four teams battling for a chance to get to the Dome, and this year it happens to be Harrisburg and Brandon Valley. And, the last time they played, it was a shutout by Brandon Valley. Harrisburg was missing a few really key players in that game. So they are really hungry to come back and show what they can do. They've got a full slate this week. Brandon Valley since then has lost a game, so they've come off their podium a little bit. So things are a little different, even though that game was just a couple of weeks ago. But Brandon Valley, to me, this is what you do in high school football. You dominate up front. You go to your running back, Levi Vescrena, who's just a couple of touchdowns short of the Brandon Valley school record for most touchdowns in a season, with 28 so far. So you just ride that train and see where it gets you. Harrisburg does have a good defense, though, and this, I think, could be a little different than the last time these two teams played.
And then Sioux Falls Lincoln versus Sioux Falls Jefferson. This one will be fun as well. I think, a lot of people, they know what Lincoln is. They know what they're about. But Jefferson, they got that win late in the year over Brandon Valley. They've been a tough team all year that's sort of been in that mix. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and they're the only team to have taken down Brandon Valley. The most common question I get is about this Lincoln team. How good are they? because they see them giving up 26 points per game. They see, you know, last week they were down to Rapid City Central in the first half. They see things like that, and they're like, how good are they? Well, here's how good they are. They're 70 points away from setting the all-time record for most points in a season in 11 AAA. So if they average 35 a week for the next 2 weeks, if they can play 2 weeks, you know, they're going to break their own record. So offensively, we know they are dynamic. Last week did not play with Lewis and Akasi, one of their top receivers, one of their two guys who they really lean on. We don't get injury reports, so I'm not sure if he's able to play this week or not. But that did was part of the reason they weren't at 100% last week. And I wouldn't be shocked to see Jared Fredenberg find a couple of his offensive athletes and say, hey, you're playing defense tonight, because they're down to the semifinals and they've had such trouble on defense. Maybe they just need a couple of athletes just to go out and make plays on the defensive side. So don't be shocked if you see that. But this game is going to be tremendous. They traded leads five times the first time these two teams played, and it wasn't until the fourth quarter till Brody Schaefer really turned it up another gear and found a way to win it for the Pats. I don't think they can guarantee or count on that this time. The second time they play, Jefferson's going to be ready. And again, this is really a coin flip game for me. I think these two teams both have a great shot to get to the Dome.
And you know Brody Schaefer's going to get his a little bit. So if you're Jefferson, it's just about containing him and trying to limit him as best you can.
It is. And that's another guy who's in search of a couple of records. I was looking at the record book, and you know his brother Tate, who graduated a couple of years ago, has his name above Brody in a couple spots that he's within reach of season touchdowns, season yards, and then the career marks next year are going to start coming down. Brody's been that good this year. So he's a guy you can definitely count on for some big plays.
All right. Well, boy, we went through it all.
We did it.
It's going to be a fun Friday night with the All Nations Football Conference Championships, and then, of course, all of the semifinal games. 14 teams are going to punch those tickets to the Dome for next week's extravaganza in Vermillion.
And next week we will get you set up with a little bit more in-depth, because we're going to only have 7 games to talk about. So we are going to go in deep and give you all the little details you need to know before you watch those championship games in Vermillion in a couple of weeks.
All right. Well, he's Jason Andera. I'm Nate Weck. This has been Game...